Station meeting will come to order. Let the record show the time is 1:40. In attendance, committee-wise, is Senator Cowdery, Senator French, Senator Huggins, and joining us at the roundtable is Senator Donnie Olson. Today, we will be taking up previously heard bills, starting with Senate Bill 85, and we'll in approximately half hour remaining, we'll look at taking up Senate Bill 40 to hear at a minimum the position of the administration on that bill, and we'll let it run its course as far as taking testimony. Now, if I might, as a carryover from our previous meeting, there were some questions about people that were testifying and their affiliation, so I would ask two things. When you testify, to get yourself on the record, your name. Number two is to make sure that we get your affiliation. And if there's any members that have a question about affiliation, please bring those forward so that everybody understands and has a clarification on any affiliation factors. As the chairman, I would say to you that to this point, I appreciate particularly Senator Olson and his conscientious effort to make sure that people are heard no matter where they're from, and he and I have coordinated very closely on that. That's an important thing to the state of Alaska and important to Alaskans. It's important to this chair, and I know it's important to Senator Olson, and it's our intent to make that happen. So in that sense, step forward and be heard. Now, with that, we have gone through, we've reviewed, we've the map in the sense of the implications and the properties involved. We've listened to a PowerPoint presentation. We've listened to people that live up and down or have some affiliation with the corridor we're speaking of. And finally, we've had some of the Fairbanks representative kinds of people talk, I think, on both sides of the issue. But in any event, to this point, we've heard from multiple peoples. But last time we cut a little bit short on Barrow in particular. So at this point in time, we're going to pick up with those that we have online. And as I see, I think the only one we have at this point in time is Fairbanks. Is that correct?
This is off net. This is 1 minute to go.
Where is he? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Is Mr. Jack Recom, are you online, Jack? From Wiseman?
And I have two people also here at my house.
Oh, very good. Okay. Hey, Jack, I would ask you to stand by. Let me just make sure that verify who we have online. Carl Rowland, are you online for Fairbanks?
Yes.
Isla Meyer-Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
Fran Maurer?
Yes.
Phil Wildfang?
Yes.
I like that last name, Phil.
I figured you would.
Jane Tinsley?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Okay, so what we're going to do is we will start with Jack, and Jack, the two people you have there, and then we'll proceed to Larry Burris. Are you present? Larry of Anituvik?
He's there.
Okay, Larry, we're making the assumption you will be there. You will follow Jack and the other two people that are at Wiseman that want to speak on Senate Bill 85. Okay, very good. Okay, Jack, if you would be our, if you would please put yourself on the record in your affiliation.
My name is Jack Recom. I live in Wiseman Village, and so I'll read I submitted something to the Senate Transportation Committee last year, and I'll read that statement again. It addresses the same issue. I'm 47 years old. I was born in the territory of Alaska, and my family moved to Wiseman Village 34 years ago before the road and the pipeline were built. Wiseman is located 265 miles north of Fairbanks. There have been large changes from being a quiet, little visited area to many thousands of tourists and hunters annually. I make my living trapping from the land primarily. supplementing my tour, guiding, and summer. I have considerable backcountry experience and intricate knowledge of these game resources in this region, and I've been a member of the Kuykok River Advisory Committee for 12 years, 13 years, as vice chair. The Board of Game has continually struggled with its mandate of sustained yield of harvest in these primarily low-density game populations in northern Alaska. Most harvests by bow hunters have exceeded sustainability in the past, and the board has addressed this with a drawing hunt for the Dalton Highway Corridor. There are multiple river boats launched from the road to adjacent river systems, and there are multiple air taxis and guide hunting units 24 with aircraft. These current access efforts are already utilizing the moose resources to sustainability. The moose population densities of this area are generally 0.2 moose per square mile in the Brooks Mountain Range and 0.3 and 4 to the outside. These are low density moose populations. The North Slope moose are currently not have an adequate population to sustain a general hunt. Bell sheep populations are at all-time lows for the past 60 years. They too are being fully utilized by multiple guides outside the corridor. The Dall sheep population experienced dramatic declines from hard winters in the 02-03 year in this area. The current Senate Bill 85 is sending the ORV restriction with drill and extremely efficient access means into an already maximized traditional access to these hunting resources. On this tundra of relatively open terrains, ORVs would wander aimlessly looking for these few moose, making trails all over at a cost to the train that is not worth the allocation shift from a non-traditional access means from what we already have as an access with an adult highway corridor. In conclusion, these additional accesses are unwarranted as the resource cannot accommodate it. These reallocation costs to the train is excessive. The impact would egregiously affect the existing users, which are the adult highway bow hunters, the river boaters, the aircraft users and guides, and the additional enforcement costs would be excessive. Right now we have one game ward that has a 78,000 square mile area. There would have to be large funding increases to accommodate all of the thousands of people that will want to utilize these this new access means here. And so those are my comments. I'll turn this over to, or are there questions after?
Yeah, hey Jack, if you could stand by 1 second, please. Jack, you still there? Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, question for you. Senator Huggins here. Number one, subsequent people testifying, we'll ask them to hold their testimony in 3 minutes in the interest of time, and we can run over if there's something that's really critical. But for yourself, you mentioned about hunting particular moose and sheep and the numbers and the density in the area. Assuming that Fish and Game manages that area that we're talking in the corridor the same as it would any low density in any other area, said another way, that they would protect it if it needed protecting based on numbers of harvest, does that give you any additional comfort?
Well, these protective measures that are enforced in the Dalton Highway Corridor are primarily revolve around the access means and firearm means of restrictions. What I'm stating is that outside the Dalton Highway Corridor, these resources are also utilized to a maximum. And so there's, right now, there's maximum sustained yield. We can harvest 5% of the moose population in Alaska. Calculation I've seen in Unit 24, we were harvesting at 4.5%. We're right at sustainability. We've had deep failures. I've just done a survey, the Department of Fish and Game, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and Park Service did a survey. There's been an additional decline in the moose population here in the past 2 years. We're at sustainability. We don't have additional resources. The proponent of the proposal is that there's an unutilized resource and we need to access that resource. I'm stating that no, there is an additional resource for use here.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Just a couple of comments. This is Senator Huggins again. We look at this as access, and I think that's what the sponsor looks at it. Hunting is certainly one of them, but there are lots of other access factors. So we'd like to, our approach is a broader perspective, but understanding in your case that hunting is a concern. Okay, with that, if we could have the next testifier, please.
Okay, here would be Florida Safety, and he'll be here in 1 second. Mr. Chairman, I guess I'll read my name for the record. My affiliation. My name is John Terrell Stacy. I am a resident of Wiseman, Alaska, and I have no group affiliation. I'm speaking for myself and my household.
Okay, go ahead, John.
I'm going to read my statement that I wrote here today. My name is John Terrell Stacy, and I'm speaking, and I'm a resident of Wiseman. I'm speaking to you on an issue of vital importance to my livelihood. I'm a lifelong Alaskan resident, and I've been supported by the resources in the Dalton Highway corridor all of my life. First, my dad fed us with what he made mining here, and now I feed myself and my fiance from what I catch, mine, and hunt here. My main income comes from guiding hunters. I hold a registered guide license. If we open up the country here to recreational ATV and snow machine use, there will be three main detrimental effects. First, there will be an increase in harvest upon our game. We live in the Arctic and we have a way fewer animals per square mile than in sub-Arctic Alaska. Our game resource is at a maximum sustained yield right now. Further, the intense harvest will occur on the tract of state land sandwiched between refuge and parks. Mr. Seekin's statement that half of Alaska will be opened up is untrue due to the huge gate of the Arctic National Park and the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. We already can use boats and airplanes to access these game resources. These means are more than reasonable, and I've never felt restricted in my own use or access. Second, there will be a severe and extreme surface disturbance. By that I mean ATV trails going this way and that. In 20 years, you will fly over these woods and open tundra areas and envision a motocross race on a gigantic scale. All of this in the name of instant gratification. Winter trails used by miners 80 to 100 years ago are still visible. Imagine six-wheeler tracks made in fall time on permafrost. This day and age, wilderness has a real and appreciating value. We still have wilderness here in the Central Brooks Range. It is real, it is valuable, it will be more valuable. We need to use it, not ruin it. ATV trails in use will ruin it. The third main impact will be on security of public and private property. First, Alyeska Pipeline will have to account for an increase in traffic and use. It is a matter of national security. Guards and trucks aren't free. So by passing Senate Bill 85, you will be forcing a new expense on our partners, Alyeska Pipeline Company. Also, there will be more vandalism and public safety issues. We have one trooper in Coldfoot. His territory is from Allakaket, north to the Arctic Ocean, then east to the Canadian border, south along the Canadian border to the mouth of the Porcupine River, and then west to Allakaket. The Dalton Highway corridor runs straight through the center of this territory. The state will have to address all of that. Addressing means spending money. Public safety needs funds, and we need wildlife enforcement officers to protect our renewable resources. We don't need to destroy our wilderness, then spend money making sure it happens in an orderly way. For these reasons, I ask you to reject Senate Bill 85. Thank you.
John, for the record, would you spell your last name?
S-T-A-C-E-Y.
Okay, thank you very much, John. I have one question for you, Senator Huggins. You say you're a guide. How do you move your clients around?
We access by airplane.
Okay.
And then we walk.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, John. We appreciate your I'm sorry, Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, how long have you lived there in Wiseman?
I was born in 19. I lived in Wiseman full time for 3 years, but I was I was here in the summer and fall since 1978 when I was born.
How much has it changed since 1978 due to the development in the area?
Could you repeat that question, please?
How much has it changed?
Well, you know, a perception from growing up is you know, it's hard. I have an adult perspective basically from the time when I was 15 until now. I'm 26 years old for the past 10 years. When I was a kid, there was no, we had to get a permit to cross the Yukon River. There was no public access to the road. And then the permit moved to where you had to access the North Slope through Adigan Pass to get a permit. And we accessed the country because we had commercial interests, valid mining claims, and my dad was developing those claims, and we worked with my kids and family worked with him. So there's been open up the road, and then there's been an increase with the opening of the road. People could come here and hunt without a permit, which is absolutely the way it should be. This is a public maintained road, and people should come here and use their public land. But because it's on a road system and because it goes through the Arctic, we have some issues of, it's quite a bit different. I went to school in Anchorage in the winter, and the sub-Arctic Alaska is quite a bit different than the Arctic. We just have less here. So we see now in the fall time and during the summer, there's thousands of vehicles on the road. There didn't used to be that. It was only industrial traffic or people here with commercial use. Only in the past 6 to 8 years has there been an increase in the general public really coming here and using these resources. And that's great. That's wonderful. People have to value their resources. It's a matter of the parameters of that resource.
Okay, thank you. I've been here for about 55 years myself, seeing a lot of changes in Alaska. I think most of the changes are for the better. Certainly the...
But most of the changes have been for the better, I agree with you, Senator. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, John. I appreciate your taking the time out. And there's one other person there in the room with you?
Yes, there is. Let me pass the phone to her.
Please. And for the benefit of timeliness, for those things that you're going to, that other people have testified on, if your testimony isn't any different, if you can just say that I agree with or something that says that you're kind of repeating what somebody else said, if it's security and things of that nature, I think we have the message on that.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Anna Smith.
Yeah, Anna.
And I'm a resident of Wiseman. And I'm a third-generation Alaskan, and I was born and raised on the Kenai Peninsula. ORV use is allowed on the Kenai Peninsula, and I saw the damage it caused to local hunting and subsistence. Also, when flying over, one can see the Argo and ATV trails scored over the landscape for miles. But a place like the Kenai Peninsula has been environmentally damaged. Then how does one think the tundra will react to that kind of... damage, it probably takes years longer to heal. One can still see trails here carved out of the landscape from 100 years ago on the tundra. Could you imagine the damage on the ecosystem? Growing up with ORV use, I saw land open which hadn't been before, and animal populations dropped significantly, and locals had complications with cabin break-ins and fish camp disturbances. For these reasons, I adamantly oppose Senate Bill 85 and ask the committee to reject it. Thank you for your time.
Any questions for Anna? Anna, thank you very much for taking the time.
No problem.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Hello, Larry Burris. Larry in Anatovic.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, Larry, if you would state your name and any affiliation you might have, please, for your testimony.
Oh, I'm Larry Burris. Last name B-U-R-R-I-S. I'm the village liaison, facilitator for Antuvi. I have Raymond Pena here who would like to provide his testimony on the bill.
Yep. Go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
Good afternoon. My name is Raymond Pena, and lifelong resident of Vancouver Pass. I'm a subscription hunter. Also serve on Ranking 10 Advisory Committee for North Loop 4, and also I'm SRC member of Cato Gardens National Park. And other agencies I serve at, I'm Artist Loop Reincorporating Board of Director, and I serve as third vice president. What I got is that when I heard this about 10 feet of 85, that it's going to impact our area on our terrible migration of, well, three herds. One is Western, Central, and Desert Book herd that's come up on their migration. So that's what we always try to protect these animals in. We live off them. Also, other game, moose, sheep, grizzly bear, fish, and also, I give my statement to the North Loop member Gordon Brown. I send in my concern that that impact on our area, say that migrating caribou herd. Also, we have a control unit here in North Loop, Oak Hill, Oak Range. And I've been through to Corporal over here, and I call that trooper over here when something come up, but that's the only one trooper I know of for many years. Also, from north of Colquitt all the way to up slope, there's no enforcement or anything like that. So, that, I'm proud of that Senate Bill 85, because there's a lot of changes up here. Might have to tell you that when that pipeline was built, that Port of Ontario used to cross the river through Wiseman and Colquitt area. As soon as the pipeline was built, that we'd never see the porcupine herd crossing the area. So anyway, I'm both of the ORVs, ATVs, snow machines. There'd be so many people that nobody can control. Not enough troopers, not enough enforcement. People be all over. I think we have enough problem already. Also, we're right in the middle of the Cato Gardens National Park. Also, that preserve over here, so it could kind of impact our hunting area. And also, you heard of a Tulik Lake at UAF experimental or research station. That will need to be protected too, because it helped all around. So anyway, that's all I have, but then I vote at Senate Bill 85.
Okay, so yes, sir. Let me make sure that it was a little bit hard to hear that you're against Senate Bill 85, and it's primarily because of you're concerned about caribou and other wildlife, and vehicle moving across the area would be too congested.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Caribou migrating area, Desert Book herd, mainly Desert Book herd, Western herd, and Central Arctic herd.
Right.
And some other game like moose, sheep. There's some guys already have affected us towards the Killick area in north of the Hotel or Brook Range.
Right. One question for you. Given the concern that we've heard from a couple people, would you support north of Yukon River just banning the use of snow machines and four-wheelers and all those game units? By anybody?
I'm not in any support because I don't think one trooper or no enforcement can handle people from south. So I don't think nobody in control of it right now even.
Okay, thank you, sir. Senator Cowdery?
Yes. When was the last time you drove up or down the road there?
What's that?
This is Senator Cowdery. I was wondering, when was the last time you drove up and down the road, up or down the road?
Well, I've been there when the pipeline just started. Also, I fly over to Coldwood and stay 3 days over there one time, then see a lot of traffic in the fall time there, and people from south got all their vehicles and hunting gear and went north of the Coldwood and up to the road.
So most of your transportation, motor transportation, is by flying?
Yeah. The only transportation we have is by flying or airplanes.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. We appreciate your taking the time to testify. Whom else do we have standing by?
Oh, this is Larry Burris again. Hello.
Yeah, Larry, go ahead.
I represent Internet Corporation as Vice President, and one concern I hadn't heard mentioned is about the search and rescue. There will be a disparate level of search and rescue services for the foothills and around that area north of Coldfoot. And I kind of felt like once a person is lost or in an emergency kind of situation, concern for the environment goes by the wayside, and safety for the individual becomes the main priority. So I'm concerned about the level of search and rescue services able to rescue somebody who would possibly damage the environment in an emergency type situation.
Okay, yeah, Larry, but if that sort of search, if search and rescue was done by helicopter, you have any problem with it?
Yes, it's probably the only best way we have for picking somebody out of a remote area, but it's not always the fastest. So somebody in a dire situation can create a lot of havoc for the environment if given the chance to do so when concerned for their life is foremost.
Okay, hey, Larry, thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate it very much, and for the people that you're representing. Rosie? Hello, Rosie? Okay, we'll continue on. June Rakoff?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, June, is that you, June?
Yes.
Thank you very much to join us. June, would you please state your name and whom in your affiliation?
My name is June Rakoff. I live in Wiseman Village. I'm affiliated with myself, I guess, and my family. I am this village. I'm a pastor here. I have a prayer chapel, and many people from all over the world have come here to be to go in there. That sort of tells you who I am. I would like to register, and I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I want to register my application to the Bill 85, which allows off-road vehicle use in the Dalton Highway corridor. Excuse me. I've resided here in this Arctic area since the end of the 1960s and early 70s, and I've experienced life here before the road and the pipeline. And I know of the intense study and the scrutiny of this this pathway and artery by the federal and state governments, as well as the most highly informed minds and scientists employed by the oil industry to determine the ultimate viability, viable use of this corridor with the least adverse intrusion and compatibility and utilization and in respect to the land, the animals, and the people used. The stewardship of this corridor has been diligent and lawful order maintained. As a mother, grandmother, and a great-grandmother, as a pastor, and as an advocate of prudent discretionary behavior, deliberation, and lawfulness of thought, it is with trepidation and feelings of intimidation I view this Bill 85 of and by the powers that would consider and authorize this and disregard sound and visionary foresight. excuse me, I have problems with my throat. I guess my greatest concern is that there will be an invasion by high-powered machinery capable of turning the desolate wilderness of the world into a war zone of indifferent, disrespectful, arrogant vandals, leaving behind deep and irreparable scars and damages to the priceless treasure of land and animals which could never be restored, leaving our posterity with a void of a gaunt waistline. It is for a stewardship that I am thinking of, for my grandchildren, for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, for posterity's sake, that those who follow us will have a beautiful land, that a wilderness to look at, one of the last ones in the world, and if I can be a voice to advocate the security of this land and promote sound and visionary thought, I would like to do so at this time. I appreciate your giving me this opportunity to talk, and I've been here a long time. I have seen people come and go. I would hate to think that this beautiful land would be changed and degraded to such a point that it would no longer be the last great wilderness on earth. Thank you.
June, thank you very much. One question for you, June. This is Senator Huggins. How many family members you have in the area?
I have a son, and all of his children were raised here. He has had four children here. I have a daughter and her two children and my husband. I have another daughter who lives here. She's in and out with her family. She has three children. We have a family membership of about probably 16, 17 members.
Right. And your family employment is, or how do they provide income for their family?
I'm retired, although I do have a prayer chapel. Prayer is my ministry. My son we were all commercial fishermen at one time down at Bristol Bay, and we used to come back and forth and use this as our home base. My son works for Northern Alaska Tour Company, and he conducts many tour people, people on tour visitors into the country, on walking safaris or just going to the village. He has a vast store of information about the history and about the lands and about the animals. My youngest daughter, has a little lodge here with her husband Scott, Heidi and Scott, and they have a couple children they're raising, doing correspondence school. Have another daughter who's not here presently, but she's been in and out, and has a home and three children. Her and her husband have worked on this road out here that goes, this artery that goes up to the Arctic Ocean. She is a labor with a labor union, and my son-in-law is with the operators union, and so they have to be in and out because of their work. We've all been a part of an integral part of this village. My daughter, who is a laborer, has also written grants and received funds for the village to make a community building. And we had school here for a couple of years when we had enough children. We've been here a long time. We used to fly in here years ago.
June, I'm sorry, this is...
We used to fly into here years ago.
Hi, June.
Uh-huh.
June, it's Senator Huggins here. Thank you very much. I was just trying to get an idea of what your family did. And you have a large family and sound like they're doing very well. And my compliments to you and your family and their enterprise there. And we appreciate very much your testimony.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being able to talk. And my best wishes to all of you that you'll have sound liberation. God bless you, each one.
Okay, thank you. Bernie Hicker, are you there? Oh, Bernie?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Bernie, we hear you. You're from Wiseman, right?
Yes, I'm from Wiseman.
Bernie, let me ask you one question and would ask you to give us your name and on the record. Is there any mining activity around Wiseman these days?
Well, there is in the area, yes. I guess they're mining up at Nolan Creek and there's various other small mines in the area.
Right. Are there many four-wheelers and snow machines in the community?
Which primarily
used
for subsistence trapping mostly and hunting of some sort.
Okay, good. If you would please, Bernie, for your testimony.
Okay, my name is Bernie Hicker. I guess I have an affiliation with my family, my wife and my two children. I'm calling on behalf of the Senate Bill 85. I'm a 21-year resident of Wiseman. I first come here in 1979 as a more or less exchange student from Germany. I came here to see the wilderness and experience it, which I fell in love with, and moved over here after that. This is one of the last great places on Earth. It's untamed, it's wild. I hope we'll keep it this way. We've been here, we established a small bed and breakfast here in the community of Wiseman, which we're doing very well. Pretty much all of our visitors come here for the very same reason that I did. They come here to experience the wilderness. People are into walking around, they're stepping lightly here. Everybody seems to realize that this is a pretty fragile country. When I first came here, the road was closed at the Yukon River. There was no travel pay beyond that unless you had a permit. This place was, I want to call it untouched in most areas. Since the road's been open to the public, I've seen a lot of ugly things. I've seen ugly things on the North Slope, the slaughtering of the caribou for a great part of just fun. The fish have been hammered hard around here. Everywhere one looks, within, you know, a few feet of the road, there's garbage everywhere. I hate seeing that. And basically, to make it short, I'm hoping we're keeping this place nice and wild, and let's not turn it into a quagmire of mud, blood, and oil. Because of that, I ask you to reject Senate Bill 85. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernie. Questions for Bernie? Bernie, I listened to your testimony, and I've only driven up that road one time, and just to be honest with you, based on my experience, the way you characterize it was not what I saw. I haven't been there when you were there, and I'm not disputing what you saw. I'm just telling you it did not appear that way when I went up the road. I would characterize it very pristine, but I don't want to debate you on it. I'm just saying it didn't look like that when I went up there, and I'm disappointed that you saw that as a former German citizen, as an American.
Let me ask, when did you travel the road?
Say again?
When did you travel the road?
5 years ago.
What time of year?
In the summer.
Like midsummer?
In July.
Oh, so there wasn't any hunting happening then when you were here?
Yeah. Hey, Bernie, thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. And if you have some things and pictures to reflect on that, please send them in. But thank you, and I'm not trying to dispute what you saw. I'm just telling you it's not reflective of what I saw, period. But thank you very much, and we appreciate your taking the time out to give us some insight into your perspective.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks. Gordon Brower.
Yeah, hello. This is Gordon Brower.
Hello, Gordon. From North Slope?
Yep, I'm from Barron.
Very good. Would you please, Gordon, enter your name and your affiliation and give us your testimony.
All righty. My name's Gordon Brower. I've lived in Barrow most of my life. I work for the North Slope Borough Planning Department in the Land Management Division. Also, I am a longtime member of the North Slope Federal Subsistence Advisory Council. And my testimony today is about Senate Bill 85 and in opposition to it. Reasons being that the North Slope Borough in land management has seen tundra damage issues occurring on North Slope lands in the recent past, and know that permafrost tundra damage is very hard to recover, if not takes many years. Some studies indicate as long as 25 years to 50 years for tundra damage to recover, and we may see these types of impacts. Another concern is possibly terrorist use of this type of opening for the protection of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Should it be more accessible to others in using vehicles like this, that you know, that the United States domestic oil supply is about 20% from the North Slope, and this opening could be used as a tool to gain to vital infrastructure that the United States may need to protect more. Other issues include subsistence impacts to the village of Onoktewit Pass, migration issues, the hunting pressure on the animals that go through there, and the deflection of migratory paths. There have been concerns from the North Slope Borough about the Trans-Alaska Pipeline because the caribou seem to concentrate on its migration along the pipeline, and that's a very intense study on satellite collared caribou that have concentrations along these corridors. And another thing is the hunting pressure, and along with that some impacts that may come about, such as the incident in Livengood, where maybe a disgruntled hunter or a resident had shot the pipeline and put a hole in it with a high-powered rifle, and before it was taken care of, some 390,000 gallons of crude oil had spilled onto the grounds, the tundra, and that was just to depressurize that big pipeline before they could even make repairs. Other issues concerning security along the Trans-Alaska pipelines, once you open these corridors to off-road use, that what type of security are you going to provide to make sure that people are abiding by rules, such as not using firearms in the direction of these pipelines, and also law enforcement for hunting violations of that sort. So these are some of the concerns the North Slope has, and as a resident of Barrow in the North Slope in opposition to this, and there are many reasons why these areas along corridors like this should be highly protected and not be more susceptible to damage and access by regular residents. Some of these roads in the past were intended to be industrial purposes only, and the state has been continually using this to open up and make it an access. I don't think there's an access issue on millions of acres. You can go to other villages, and if you want to do subsistence, you have other means of accessing lands, and a transportation corridor is a haul road system intended purpose.
Well, Gordon,
those are my comments.
Yeah, Gordon, thank you very much. Questions for Gordon? Okay, Gordon, thank you very much for testifying on behalf of law enforcement people and yourself. And again, we appreciate it.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Carl Rowland? Carl, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Carl, if you could enter your name, your affiliation, and limit your testimony to 3 minutes.
Certainly. My name is Carl Rowland. Last name is Rowland, name is R-O-L-A-N-D. I live in Fairbanks. My affiliation is I'm representing myself. And so I think several of the things I'd like to say have been touched on by other people, so I'll just keep it fairly brief. I'd like to register my strongest agreement with the proposal to lift restrictions on off-road vehicles in the Dalton Highway corridor. I use the area in the fall for caribou hunting, and I go hiking up there. And so my objections to SB 85 are the following. Widespread degradation of vegetation resources and wildlife habitat, essentially a permanent alteration of the landscape in a negative way. Secondly, negative impacts, or potential negative impacts to wildlife populations due to increased harassment, hunting pressures, and increased potential for disease transmission. Increased need for maintenance and services on the Dalton Highway itself. And the question, one question I have in my mind about this is the infrastructure really already in place to allow the dramatic change in use patterns that will result from this change in statute? And then lastly, the increased need for security measures along the pipeline that have been mentioned by several other people. So I would urge you strongly not to adopt SB 85, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Carl, thank you very much. Questions for Carl, committee members? Carl, thank you very much. Isla?
Hello, yes. My name is Isla Meyer-Smith, and I'm a Fairbanks resident. So I'll begin my testimony. I have two angles here today. One is a personal experience angle, and that is this summer my car was broken into north of Attigan Pass near the Galbraith Lake parking lot. And I got to experience firsthand the level of law enforcement. The officers are really great in assisting me, but unfortunately, they have very limited jurisdiction, and I was referred to Barrow, and Barrow wasn't able to deploy an officer, and so I got no assistance with that vandalism and theft. Secondly, totally separate, professionally, I'm a scientist, and I study disturbance impacts in both the boreal and the Arctic, and I've actually worked North Valley and Pass looking at the effects of the Hall Road on the adjacent tundra, and I have an article that's currently in review for publication in a European journal for applied ecology called Ecography. And so my studies and those of my colleagues have suggested that this kind of damage is long-lasting for decades, especially in the tundra, more so than in the boreal ecosystem, and also the timing of disturbance is very important. So summer ATV use would be much more destructive than winter ATV use, so I would encourage your committee to consider the timing and the location of this type of use. And the third thing I'd like to mention is fire suppression costs, which is something that hasn't been mentioned up to this point. So I work with researchers who have been using the Alaska Fire Database to look at the spatial distributions of fire on the landscape, and they found that within a 5-mile corridor of roads in interior Alaska, you're 10 times more likely to have fires, and that's because of human access. So I would assume that with increased vehicle traffic on the Dalton Highway, you would increase the number of human starts and fires, and especially between the Yukon River and Attigan Pass, this would lead to great increases in the need for suppression of fires. Also, if you're going to increase infrastructure in that region, you'll have more areas where you want full suppression. So those are the three points I'd like to bring today, and I can refer you to further scientific literature if you have questions about the disturbance of ATVs and off-road vehicles. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Isla. Any questions for Isla? Thank you very again, Isla. Fran Maurer?
Yes, my name is Fran Maurer. I'm a resident here of Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm just representing myself. But I'd like to add that I'm a retired wildlife biologist. I've worked for a land managing agency on the North Slope for the past 21 years, and I've got several concerns regarding SB 85. Many of those concerns have already been mentioned, the sensitivity of the tundra vegetation, soils, permafrost, and the potential for damage from ATV use up there. Currently, there's little funds to enforce fish and game regulations as it is. And we're talking about a vast area, and opening this under SB 85 would aggravate the situation. The disturbance of ATVs could result in displacement of wildlife from the road area, reducing opportunities for subsistence and other citizens wishing to observe wildlife. The The ATV use in the corridor would further add to competition for the existing game that's there, with aggravating the situation for local subsistence users, which I believe you've heard from already. And that point out that the Dalton Highway is currently a popular area for bull hunting. And we bring and open the surrounding area to ATV use, that will probably be a conflict with that opportunity. I would like to, in addition, add that from my own professional experience in doing wildlife studies and research on the North Slope, that the statements made by Jack Rieckhoff are right on, that the productivity of wildlife populations in the North Slope are very low, populations are fragile, easily disturbed, and difficult to recover. I witnessed and documented a North Slope-wide decline in the moose population up there starting in the early and mid-1990s. And most of the North Slope has been closed to sport hunting for moose and has remained closed since that time. And I think this illustrates how vulnerable these wildlife populations are and how slow they are to recover. In addition, I would add that that population decline in moose in the early to mid-1990s coincided with the increase in traffic up the north, up the Dalton Highway, and use of aircraft to get out beyond the road, but trucking aviation gas up the road enabled increased hunting pressure and very likely had much to do with the decline of that moose population. So for all those reasons, I am personally opposed to SB 85 and think it's a very irresponsible demonstration of how we steward our resources here in Alaska and sends a bad message to other visitors who come to the state. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
So would you say your first name again?
My first name is Fran, F-R-A-N.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mountain. Mr. Phil Wildfang.
Yes, this is Phil Wildfang. I'm from Fairbanks. I've lived here about 12 years now, and I'm representing myself and my wife. Found out about the meeting a couple of hours ago. I don't have any prepared written comments. I will say, in the interest of time, that I certainly agree with all of those who have testified before me in opposition to this piece of legislation, and would urge you to defeat it in committee. It doesn't even deserve to go beyond committee at this point. My own unique perspective, I guess, that I could add, in addition to all of the things that have said by the eloquent people in front of me, is that during the past 12 years, I've had an opportunity to work pretty closely with a lot of folks out at Eielson Air Force Base and at Fort Wainwright. I know and have the pleasure of having a number of active duty as well as retired friends who utilize the North Slope, the Dalton Highway, for hunting activities in the fall and for fishing and camping and backpacking activities during the summer months. And they enjoy the regulations that are currently in effect. These are folks who like the chase, they like the process of hunting. They're most interested in the experience itself, not necessarily whether or not they happen to bag an animal. And they like the fact that these stringent regulations enable them to get up there and not have to deal with the maddening crowds. I also know for a fact that if this area is opened up, that hundreds and perhaps thousands of other military personnel who, despite the fact, and retirees, despite the fact that they may not be as interested in the hunt, the process that I described earlier, but are more interested in going out there and trying to bag an animal. At any rate, I fully expect that they'll be up there by the hundreds with their motorized vehicles and ORVs and doing their very best to terrorize that area. I just think it's a bad idea. I believe that security and the fragile nature of the environment up there deserves that this legislation be defeated. And that's the end of my testimony. Thank you.
Yeah, questions for Phil? Phil, thank you very much for your presentation. Mr. Jason Tinsley.
Yeah, I'm Jason Tinsley, Mr. Chairman and Committee, and I was actually going to testify opposing the bill, but I haven't heard anybody support it yet, so I've been here 33 years now, and I'd like to testify as if I was a 23-year-old living here, because I was 23 when I was living here. I've been hunting in Alaska for moose since I was 5 years old. I shot my first moose 3 miles off the Dalton Highway. We used a four-wheeler to go in and get it. If it wasn't for the miner flying over, my father would still have his guns that got taken away from him after we shot that moose. I was raised riding four-wheelers. We had snowcats, weasels. We shot a moose 5 miles off the trail once in the Tango Lakes area. We just took the snowcat, drove her cross country. It was great. Because with those snowcats, you can get anywhere. We drove 5 miles, drove over big trees, drove over creeks, drove over brush, and loaded up the moose and drove it out. It was the best thing an eight-year-old could have done is be with his father during that experience. In my 20s, I watched somebody shoot a caribou with an HK-90 assault rifle, semi-automatic. I've seen people shoot a caribou with tracers. It's going to be so easy to do that once you guys pass this bill, because there's nobody up there to watch out. It's going to be wonderful. I can drive anywhere. I can shoot whatever I want. It's going to be no problem. And then if I don't have enough room to sneak the moose out, I'll just leave some of it there and take a small piece of it. And the 300 Magnum, as everybody knows, is a lot more efficient than a bow, and you can shoot from a lot further, too. So in the end, I guess I have to say that I opposed SB 85 because of people like me, or people like I was when I was 23. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Question for Jason? John Klinkle?
He had to leave, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Rosie, are you there? Hello, Rosie.
This is Rosemary Adoro. I'm in Noxit. I've lived out here almost 20 years now. I wanted to comment on Senate Bill 85. My mom is Mabel Neal Peterson. My father is Don Pierce, and my stepfather is Carl Peterson in Fairbanks. I've lived in Alaska throughout my life, except for when I went to school in Tacoma, Washington. We have 5 children we've raised up here in Norcott. Opening the Dalton Highway to ATV and snow machine usage will alter our subsistence resources as well as those of our community. Other villages rely on these resources. Our daily life activity provides for the foods our family lives on. Western diet foods are costly to get here, with $7 for 2 oranges and milk, $3.25 a quart. The traditional foods that our elders have taught us to use in our traditional use areas are sustainability for our family. Even though I work, the cost of living is very expensive here. The blunt opening of this highway is a broken promise to our elders and to me and our future generations. Changes to come are going to be rapid and time-lasting. The delicacy of our environment has been protected by its remote location and harsh environment. Changes to access will change the vegetation, the animals, and my family's daily lives. The uses of these vehicles are primarily recreation, when my daily life depends on this. An evaluation of the reaction should be done to assess the attempt to protect our subsistence. The identification of threshold levels that will allow protection as well as usage. We see changes, but we must testify to get them to get them identified. Others had said, go ahead. But our resources traveled to many communities away from here, and they come here to multiply. We must ensure the future generations before we say yes to recreation. If this is passed, then prevent the loss of our sustainability in our community with our traditional uses of our traditional resources. Evaluate what will happen and protect critical areas that ensure the resources that feed my elders and our future generations. And thank you for the opportunity to comment.
But Rosie, thank you very much for taking the time to testify today. Are there other people online that would like to testify? Yeah, to each of you that testified today, we say thank you very much, and we appreciate your speaking on behalf of yourself and for those who are affiliated with a body or a village or whomever it might be. We say thanks to you for representing a group. Are there people here in the room to testify on this bill? Okay, for the sake of time, what I'd like to do is set the bill aside for a few moments, and let's turn to Senate Bill 40. And for the sake of getting the administration on record for its position, in this case on Senate Bill 40, Kuskokwim Port Authority. Do we have a administrative representative here? Michael Black. Hello, Michael.
Yes, I'm here in Anchorage. Thank you.
Yes, it's Senator Huggins here. You're making yourself available to testify on Senate Bill 40, Kuskokwim Port Authority. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. If you would give us your name, your position and affiliation, we'd appreciate it, and you can testify.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman and committee members, my name is Michael Black. I'm director of the Division of Community Advocacy in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Yeah, Mr. Black, stand by 1 second. Okay. Let the record show that Senator Terrio had joined us early at 1:50, as I recall, and in any event, had to go out of the room very quickly and is back with us at this point in time. Please proceed, Mr. Black.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Commissioner Blatchford, we appreciate the opportunity to testify on this bill. First, we apologize. We were not present last week when the bill was first heard. However, we have had time to consider Senate Bill 40 and find it to be a complicated piece of legislation. We've had discussions with other agencies outside the department. In fact, I believe Peter Boutier, Assistant AG for the Department of Law, may be online on behalf of law if there are questions that might be relevant to his background. On behalf of the Department of Commerce, I offer the following comments. Article 10 of the Alaska Constitution encourages, as a matter of fundamental public policy, the formation of boroughs. We believe that Senate Bill 40 may discourage formation of borough governments in the region proposed by the Port Authority. If it is a regional entity with very narrow purpose, we would prefer that boroughs be formed. Our reading of the proposed legislation indicates that while Port Authority can finance the development of local infrastructure, it would possess and be able to exercise considerable government powers. As a matter of constitutional policy, we would prefer to see the residents of the area exercise the opportunity to form a borough, which is the general purpose regional government that can serve a broad range of needs. A borough can provide for development and services defined by all members of the area through a duly elected representative government. ADA stands by and is poised to offer financial services in support of infrastructure development in the absence of a port authority. Therefore, in closing, we believe the creation of the port authority is a policy call for the legislature, however, we prefer to see the regional leadership explore the opportunity to create a borough that can rely upon economic development of the area, and through borough formation, develop and maintain infrastructure and deliver services to all the residents within the borough. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Black. Questions for Mr. Black? Senator Cowdery?
Yeah, the Port Authority, the concept of a Port Authority, what's your position? Is that a good thing or not a good thing? Not just for this, but the overall scheme of things.
We have seen Port Authorities develop in other parts of the state, although they're fairly limited, and we have no objection to Port Authority development. Ideally, they would be developed under or with at least the cooperation of a regional government such as the borough.
So you believe if a borough, they formed a borough in that region, they could still be a Port Authority?
Certainly, there are Port Authorities operating that essentially coordinate the activities of more than one borough, and Port Authorities do have certainly a specific role. So, yes, there could be a Port Authority developed after a borough formation. We would prefer that.
And if I could continue, there's how many communities would this encompass? There's 20? Would you say that's a round number?
I would say that would be a fair number, yes.
Yes. So what you're asking, all 20 communities that we're talking about, maybe form a borough?
That would be one option, and then, of course, the other option is that even more than one borough might be formed. The Port Authority extends only along the corridor of the river. It would certainly be more in keeping with the standards for borough formation to have it a broader geographic area than that.
So I have property in the Mattoo Borough, as others do, and do you think just because I own the property in the borough, they can't, or the borough doesn't encourage me to do the development of my property just because it's in the borough? How can you respond to something like that?
Well, as I understand it, if a borough would form, for example, in the area that we're discussing and rely upon a tax base that could be developed through the economic development of, for example, mining claim at Donlin Creek or other activities, then that revenue would be available for economic development. And, of course, it could be chosen by the assembly of that borough to create a port authority which would operate with revenue bonds. That would certainly be possible.
So I take it you're in support of the development of the Donley Creek mine?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Terrio, please.
So the difficulty for us is that we've got this development that could be benefited by the formation of the Port Authority. Port Authority could be formed as part of a borough, but I'm not aware of any steps to really form a borough out there. So the issue that we're confronted with is, well, do we just do nothing and hope that they form a borough? Do we force them to form a borough, which I'm not in favor of, or do we go with the Port Authority to try and get the project going to the benefit of all the people that live up and down the river that would have employment opportunity there? So where is that area with any kind of discussion on the formation of a borough?
And if I might address that, Mr. Chairman, I am aware that there are discussions regarding borough formation in the area. However, those discussions are just that, and they have not proceeded to a point where we would say with definite that there was a movement afoot, if you will, for borough formation. So,
Senatorium.
But we have a duty to try and get sensible utilization of the state's resource for the benefit of the people. So would you advise us just to sit back and wait?
Mr. Chairman, I would not presume to advise you to sit back and wait. I just state that it would be the policy of our department to at least encourage borough formation in some form, either as part of this bill or in some other methods, so that we would have a established subdivision government of the state to work with.
Mr. Chairman, and for the prime sponsor, did Senator Hoffman sign on as a co-sponsor to this piece of legislation?
Yes.
And he represents this area?
He represents the Bethel area, yes, as well as our other senator from the area. They both, and I have spoken to them both. They're supporting of the concept, but we were interested in the administration's position.
And I guess just on behalf of the department, is you're concerned that the value, what would be the tax base or mechanism to make a payment in lieu of taxes, would be otherwise committed, diverted to the needs of the Port Authority and no longer available for a borough government?
Mr. Chairman, we would certainly have concerns along those lines. We would also have concerns about competing organizations if there wasn't a direct relationship established, either through competing for revenue, also competing for authority.
Okay, thank you. I guess, though, that in the Red Dog mine makes a payment in lieu of taxes, plus it pays its payment for the loan that it got from the state. So it's able to do both, support the local governmental needs, requirements to support education, things of that nature, and pay back the loan that it got from the state. So I guess I'm not sure that if this project were to go forward under the support and organization of a port authority, that it would be preempted, because that's not the example that we have just a little bit further up the coast.
Mr. Black, this is Senator Huggins. You know, our concern is that, you know, the formation of boroughs has not been exactly a spontaneous event taken on by many communities. And so, but since most Alaskans support resource development, what we don't want to do is have a step in the process which we can't get past to stop what would be a significant resource development that we could enrich by some collective participation, in this case a port authority. So that's my position as the chairman. We will continue to pursue that, and I thank you very much for your testimony. I'm sorry, stand by.
Yeah, Senator Chaudhry, what's your position on the mine? You think that's a big enough resource that you would call a major resource in that area?
Yes, sir, Senator. We would certainly consider it a significant economic development opportunity. At this point, we, of course, I assume, as everyone else, we're not sure of the size, but it seems to be very significant.
Well, you don't know if there's oil in the ground until you drill a hole. But in Alaska, I think our hoard of plenty has came from holes in the ground. That's and from the testing and the amount of money that's been spent so far, it indicates a willingness of some to invest and go forward with this project. So anyway, it's I'm very supportive, as our Senator Terrio said earlier, that of our development. How does this differ from the Red Dog?
Senator, Red Dog, of course, as it became, as the owners became aware of its significance, and of course they sought creation of a borough, and as has been alluded to, the Red Dog mining operation has been very supportive of local, of the borough government, through a payment in lieu of taxes. And so I assume that, the difference was that, there was no port authority established initially before the borough formation.
And if I could have a follow-up, what's your take on the appointment process to the Port Authority? Would that be done by, I had concerns to me about a balanced appointment, a balance being of the communities involved. What would your take the administration might do to, if this ever come about, for a formation of a borough? I mean, formation of a Port Authority. The board, man, the board.
I may be speaking out of school, Mr. Senator, but the appointment, of course, is up to the governor, and the recommendations to the governor come from a selected group mentioned in the bill. There, as I understand it, only a few communities, if maybe even fewer than few communities mentioned in there as a recommending appointments, and it is one of our concerns that some communities would appear to be with less ability to influence those appointments, as opposed to a borough assembly, which is elected from the entire region.
Well, there's, as I talked, and the research I've done from myself, there's some villages out there that they don't speak English in, and that don't really, they live in their sort of their own little area world there, and they was concerned that they didn't want it to be controlled by, say, just one entity. They wanted a balanced approach to the board. So, but that's downstream. We'd like to work on with the administration to see if we can work something out that's satisfactory, and I'm glad that you have finally got up to the, we know what the concerns are. So that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Cowdery. Mr. Black, we would like you to remain available for future conversations so we can make sure that we examine this issue fully. Are there other questions for Mr. Black?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Terrio.
Just, I would certainly be interested. I understand the overall opposition from the administration's position to the bill, but if the bill were to go forward, I wonder if they have had an opportunity to look through and find areas that they would have concern or critiques on the structure that's being proposed. So I just welcome, you know, that kind of input on the whole bill.
Mr. Black, did you hear Senator Terrio?
I'm sorry, I may not have heard of all the details, Mr. Chair.
Well, let me summarize what he said. Essentially, that he would like your agency and others that represent the administration to look at the concept and the implications of the concept so that if we get past the issue of a borough, we're not still at step number two, that we're ready to move forward if we can bring things along.
I'm sure that would be possible, Mr. Chair, and we would be happy to do so.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Black. If I might, for those that are in the Bethel LIO, they're waiting to testify on Senate Bill 40, it's the intent of the chair today to only take testimony from the administration to get that on record. I apologize, we have the constraint of time, and we're looking to revisit Senate Bill 40 on Tuesday, so please, I just want to make sure you understand you will not be testifying today on Senate Bill 40 if you're in Bethel, Alaska. You're welcome to remain online to listen, however. Do we have a representative from the AG's office here on Senate Bill 40? So you have an odd number of 3 minutes to testify. So,
Mr. Chairman, actually I was only here today to answer questions if there were any.
Okay, your first question. If you would please, your name and affiliation.
My name is Peter Putzier, spelled P-U-T-Z-I-E-R. I'm with the AG's office.
Ontario.
Can you tell me, have you had a chance to look through the bill, and if it were to go forward, do you have concerns that you're ready to testify to today on any of the proposed structure, makeup, election, discharge?
In very broad terms, I've identified just a few issues, and I'll just hit the main ones. The first is whether there's a potential violation of the Article 2, Section 19, Local or Special Act. My concern there was that some of these communities may feel as if they're not adequately represented. Someone could bring a charge after, if this were to pass, and say, is there a fair and substantial relationship to a legitimate statewide interest or impact? At first blush, it appears to be fairly narrow in a fairly narrow region. I'm just trying to foresee potential challenges that could be coming our way that we should at least start thinking about. The second one was the Article 10, in that Mr. Black has already covered the broad interest there on local government concerns and the general interest in formation of local government. And then we have this other entity, a port or an authority, and what role does it play? What relationship does it have to boroughs? It's, to a certain extent, I think, new ground and something to look at, but Mr. Black has covered that. I think that the powers of this organization under the existing version of the bill are somewhat unclear. There are numerous sections in there that leave it uncertain just how broad the powers are, and I think that Donlin Creek, the mine, might be interested in that as well. They want to go in there and do their work, and they might be interested in what kind of authority does this entity have. I think we could clear that up. That's something we could work on. And finally, the board composition. If the board members have any significant financial or landholding interests within that operating area, I think it raises interesting potential conflict of interest concerns. I've checked with our ethics attorneys, and they verified to me that that's a legitimate concern. It's not clear how this would play out. It's a very small operating area. It appears at first blush as if though many of the board members might have direct or indirect interests in that area. I don't have an answer to that yet. He asked for a broad overview. Those are the four main issues I've identified. There are a lot of other sort of what I'll call nitpicky issues, but we could clear those up just informally outside a session.
Mr. Chairman,
final question.
The issue of the local or special act, can most of that be dealt with in us playing a role as the unorganized borough assembly instead of the legislature? I mean, how does that potentially change that dynamic? There's an unorganized part of the state. We sit here and as members of the assembly to that unorganized area. That's all the state of Alaska minus those areas that have organized. How do we, are we barred from taking an act then within as an assembly member to the unorganized borough?
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, I don't know the answer to that. I would have to look into that.
Other questions, Mr. Weitzer?
Would you say your name again? Pronounced Putzier.
Putzier. Okay, Mr. Putzier.
It's worse than Calgary, isn't it? Anyway, could I, if my understanding, the governor could appoint the board from Fairbanks, from Anchorage, or from any place. The governor has that right as in the Constitution. Is he required to beyond the courtesy of appointing local people, he have the discretion to appoint anybody he chooses?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, I think maybe we just would want to clear up the 3021020B. It says that the governor shall appoint seven persons, and then the governor shall solicit nominations, and then it lists very specific entities. When I first read this, and in fact I believe the legislative affairs attorney interpreted that as being a commandment to the governor to select individuals that are specifically nominated from these specific entities. I think that's unclear right now, and we could just with a very easy word change make whatever the intent is clear. And if the intent is that the governor be able to appoint whoever he or she in the future seeks to appoint to the board, we could certainly change that.
Yeah, that should probably, Mr. Chairman, be brought to a clear understanding of everybody, you know, so that there's no doubt if we do pass this bill of the authority of the government and the choice that he might make.
Right. Senatorio.
Mr. Chairman, it's not your intent to take any final action on this bill today.
It's going to be carried over.
I would just ask Prime Sponsor Senator Cowdy perhaps to just get our legislative drafters together with the Department of Law folks.
Yes.
There's many of these things that just having the attorneys have a conversation or two that can be dealt with. The overall policy, though, of whether to go forward the bill, they can't answer that question, but a little clarification then be a good step to take between now and the next meeting, perhaps.
This bill is, you know, not exactly a carryover, but it's been talked about in the past administration, and the past couple of years ago or last year, and it's a pretty thick bill, and we intend to work on it and try to work out all the bugs.
Thank you, Ms. Futzer, and just like to say that we want to work in partnership with the administration. This is important for the region. It's important for the state. There's certainly some impediments to it, and there's some contrasting points of view, but it's important enough that we have to continue to push, understanding some people will be happy, some will be unhappy, but in the long run, I think that the average person, when they look at the creation of it, what it will create for us, it will be a good thing, and we just got to continue to the pursuit of that vision and understand that it has some potential life. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senate Bill 40 will be carried over till next Tuesday for a meeting. I'd like to pull back to Senate Bill 85 at this point in time, which has a zero fiscal note on it. We've heard, in summation, a contrasting point of view. I think it's fair to say that if you live in the region, that you prefer that people outside the region not come in, and that there's some concern about damage to the area. I'd venture to say in my experience that in flying around and viewing that there is a large number of all-terrain vehicles that use the area anyway, and it's so local people there have some opportunities that people coming from the outside do not have, but be that as it may, we heard from two groups in Fairbanks, one that supported it, one that did not support it. We heard from Wiseman today in particular that for the most part, I think people there said that they were against this. Some had lived there a long time. One was a German national that may be a citizen at this point in time, unknown, but against the proposition. So at this point, I ask for the wishes of the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Can I just make a statement, if I could? With all due respect to the people that are here, I realize I'm not a member of the community or a member of the committee, but certainly as we look at some of the testimony there, I'd just like to make a comment.
Sure.
On behalf of the people that are from mostly affected by the legislation that's in front of us, as well as those people that are outside. And if we look at what's gone on this afternoon from both the professional people that are out there, the biologists, as well as the residents that are from the area that live up on the North Slope, as well as those that are from there and not from there, that there is certainly an overwhelming 3-to-1 ratio of opposition to having this bill go through. And I think that even within the Fairbanks, the number of people that are for it, the number of people that are against it are equal. And so I think that we as representatives realize that we work as a republic and as representatives of the area, that I think it's against the wishes of the people to have this legislation come through both inside and outside of the North Slope area. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And the chair would just like to comment that for those that haven't been present, Senator Olson has been present during this proceedings. He's been very deliberate and cooperative and proactive in making sure that the people of the area have been heard, and we appreciate that very much. There are contrasting points of view. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the committee, first of all, for hearing it and allowing a wide diversity of opinions to be met. I could have provided hundreds of people to testify, but as a chairman myself of my own committee, I know how much time that would take away from other business of the state. And I think there are other people who are affected because of the current law, and those are the people who live in Alaska who cannot use public lands as they are intended for in any other part of the state. And I believe that the planned orderly growth and development of public lands, allowing the land owners to do what they do everywhere else in the state, allowing the Board of Fish and Game to be able to manage those resources as they do everywhere else in the state, is a reasonable request for the people of the state of Alaska. And I appreciate all of the opinions that are out there. I don't for a minute think that the people of the state of Alaska are a bunch of slobs that are going to go out and tear up the countryside. I think most of us revere it, honor what we have, don't want it to be ruined. But I do think that most of the people that live in the state of Alaska would like to have access. We have millions and millions of acres of wilderness lands that will never have the opportunity for people to enjoy. So where it can be reasonably done in an orderly manner, I think it's incumbent upon us to be able to provide access to those public lands, and that's why the bill's here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if I might, for the record, as a chair, that if we look over time, that this is a progressive sequence. You know, once upon a time, I remember when the discussion was pipeline, yes or no, and there were lots of people that had doomsday scenarios about what would happen with the pipeline. I think it's fair to say that the Caribou numbers have grown. The pipeline's been a good thing. We've enjoyed the revenue. The road was closed once upon a time. The road was open, but prior to the opening, we heard lots of scenarios that were not doomsday, but were catastrophic in some nature. I think it's fair to say that my experience, having driven up there, pristine, very pristine, a lot more so than the Parks Highway where I live. If you park a vehicle, you got to put if you're an employee there, you have to put an oil pan under it. So there's some extraordinary measures of people being good stewards. And in my estimation, this is the next step in that process, because huge public area, public lands, and the public should have access to it. It's just a simple matter. Public land, and do we give the public access to it, or do we protect the public from the public access? And I happen to believe that it's important that we have that conversation. Do I have a motion?
Yes, we heard this bill last year, maybe for the last 2 years.
One year.
Pay particular attention to the things. So the motion I'd like to move, this bill has another committee of referral, the Resource Committee. So to move things along, I'd like to make a motion that we move this Senate Bill 85 with the zero fiscal note attached forward to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
I'd like to object, Mr. Chairman. And can I speak to my objection?
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to weigh in. I've been listening to both sides, and I just want to tell you my thoughts on the bill, and then I'm sure it'll take its natural step. Let me just tell you some of the reasons I don't support the bill and the reasons why I do. One of the rationales I don't support is the Homeland Security argument. I think folks that say that we got to keep this road closed to ORVs for Homeland Security purposes are off the market. Anyone who wants to mount an attack on the pipeline can do it over the course of 1,000 miles or 650 miles, and I don't think this Dalton Highway has anything to do with that. Another reason why I'm skeptical about the claims that some folks have made is about the depletion of the game. I think the Board of Game will be able to manage the game there, and I don't think there's going to be a wholesale slaughter game anymore than there's a wholesale slaughter game on the Parks Highway or the Denali Highway or any other place where people have access, as long as, you know, there's a good Department of Game that'll look after that. I guess my concern is that this, and I support a balanced approach to this, and I think planned and orderly growth is going to happen. Sooner or later, you're going to have more access, and I'm a supporter of more access. I worked for 3 years as a volunteer to a group called Challenge Alaska, and they get disabled folks out into the mountains, out into the woods, and these folks have got to have an opportunity to get out and enjoy the state that we enjoy, and I think ORVs is one way you do that, and so I'm not opposed to that idea either. I guess I am concerned that we don't have any definition in this bill of what an ORV is. I think we all know what we think, and that's little four-wheelers. But an ORV is an off-road vehicle. It could be a Humvee, and if someone wants to drive their Humvee up across the tundra and say, I'm going to my camp, I don't see how you stop them. Except for maybe the application of future rules that we're going to set in place between now and when the bill takes effect. strikes me that we should do that ahead of time. We should give clear direction today. Another sort of difference I see, a clear difference, is the difference between a snow machine and an ORV. What the testimony we've heard is that a snow machine is probably not going to hurt the vegetation at all, and it's not going to hurt any hunting season because that happens in a different time of the year. I'd be amenable to talking about trying snow machines and maybe not ORVs while we work out a definition of ORV. And finally, I guess I'd say that where I'm from in Anchorage, these issues come up all the time. You know, who's going to get to use which property? And it's been worked out really well up in Turnagain Pass. Turnagain Pass is close to Anchorage. People can drive there in an hour and a half. And there's a group of skiers and hikers and climbers who love to get out there and enjoy the pristine solitude. And there's a bunch of folks who like to hit their snow machines out there and run up the side of the hill as far as they can and have some fun on their snow machines. And the way that's been worked out is they've said, okay, this side of the road is for snow machines and this side of the road is for the skiers. And it's been going that way for 10 years now, and folks seem to be pretty happy with that. So I guess I'd be interested in maybe trying, in this instance, you know, this side of the road is going to be open for ORV access, and this side is going to be closed so the bow hunters and the folks that want to rough it can keep doing that. But my concern is that this is an outright repealer, and so it's just hard to step back from that repealer. So for those reasons, I'm objecting to its going forward. Thank you.
If I might, as the chair, you also have dog parks, and if you're out in my neck of the woods, no leashes. And if you went out to my neck of the woods in Wasilla and talked about that, they would be a little confused by that, because it's a different, and it's a huge area, and we don't have, I mean, with thousands and hundreds of thousands, millions of acres, as we're talking about, so it's a huge area. So it's in my mind, it's much different than that. With that, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator
French?
No. Senator Calvey?
Yes.
Senator Terrio?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. With the clerk, with the tally 3-1, Senate Bill 85 will move out of committee with zero fiscal note.